Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
It's a Hard Knicks Life. It is a Hard Knicks Life. A Hard Knicks Life. Oh, it's a Hard Knicks Life. It's a Hard Knicks Life. It is a Hard Knicks Life. A Hard Knicks Life.
Knicks fans, and what is up, Barry motherfucking D?
What is up, Craig?
Knicks in five. That's what's up, Barry. Knicks in five.
Here we go. Deja vu.
Deja vu. I went to the Knicks game one, by the way, and on the way home, witnessed a fan throwing up in his seat on the LIRR all over the floor. That was nice. Kind of like what the Knicks did in the second half, you know? And good day to Jay, a.k.a. Blanderson Hooper, who just did an amazing impersonation of an asshole about to take a shit for me and Barry. With his face, by the way.
I thought that was pretty good, right? Barry liked it.
Can you do that again for us?
No, I ate all of the chocolate-covered raspberries I had. I only took four, so I ate them all.
Blandy's sitting here eating chocolate-covered fucking raspberries while we Frozen record ones. The show. Frozen chocolate-covered raspberries. What a fucking pussy.
No, those are delicious, Craig. Don't you knock got them it until you try it. Yeah. Yeah, my
he
wife got it for
He didn't get them
wife.
For me. He and his wife bought them for my wife because she's still in, you know, bedridden. So it's not like one guy was buying another guy raspberries.
My so wife how many buys, bags did you
my
guys
wife
get
buys
for?
Bags of these at really? Target. Whenever she goes to Target, she empties out their freezer and buys these things up. Because one time she went and they didn't have them. So now when she goes, she literally buys everyone that they have.
Wow. Target's got some good snacks, you know?
And Barry, are you going to be doing that impersonation of Jordana around the house?
You should do
I will now. Yeah, I can't wait.
See what she thinks.
You're going to ruin that whole dessert or whatever that is.
Now, I think I might go with, instead of saying, look at me pushing a turd out of my mouth, I might just do it and say, what is this? Do it. And then
and see if she can figure it out.
She'll give up, and then I'll tell her, and then, mind will be blown.
Makes sense. I can see that.
Your kids could get into it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's whole family doing it. The kids would do.
That's a family activity. Shitting out of your mouth. And please subscribe to the one podcast that when you're sad, we're sad, right, guys? This is Hotepe after that game one loss against Miami.
Hoo-wee. That was a squeaker.
Oh, wait, nope.
Oh, fuck you, Blandy. Whoa. What are you doing,
hold on. Whoa,
Blandy?
Hold on. Because
did I label them wrong?
Yeah, you did. So calm yourself down.
Okay.
This says Hotepe, and then another one says JoJo after game one. Who the hell is JoJo?
Not JoJo. Play the intro clip. Well, we just talked about it. The intro clip. You see, you did fuck up, Blandy.
You said
you
Hotepe.
Did fuck up. Okay, yeah, but it's the intro clip.
It's not labeled as Hotepe.
We have did one we not just talk about
you
this?
Can, you
Barry,
can
did we
see
just
how
not
he,
talk about this?
This isn't
yes,
your fault.
Yes, I can.
This isn't your fault, Blandy. Don't let him make it sound like
no,
it's
it
literally
is your
labeled
fault.
As Hotepe. Let's hear what Hotepe had to say. And
no,
I'm
well,
like, oh, okay, let me click Hotepe.
That's Hope to Pay his voicemail for the voicemail section. This is his intro.
But I somehow know the difference between the two. All right,
you literally just said, what's the intro clip for? And I said, it's for the clip right, you played at the beginning of the show.
That's why when you said Hope to Pay, I was like, oh, because I thought, well, we're going to voicemails out of nowhere. All right.
And then didn't you just play JoJo, though?
No, I played Hope to Pay. So you don't even know what you labeled.
Well, we have got a JoJo and a Hope to Pay, Randy.
Yeah. Exactly. And then apparently another Hope to Pay that's not labeled as Hope to Pay.
Oh, fucking play. Right,
play the intro clip.
Wait, and please. Oh, does it? No. And please subscribe to the one podcast that when you're said, we're said. Go. Intro clip.
What's up, boys? Hope to Pay. Calling from the bowels of the New York City subway beneath MSG. Somber, saxophone music in the background. Feeling like. Down. Giving up game one at home, losing the home court advantage. I don't know, man. Boys just didn't bring it today. Did not bring the energy. That's it. That's the crowd. Didn't exactly bring it all either. So, anyway, it's a hard next life. Let's pay out.
Now, since you started to fucking play it, Blandy. Mm-hmm. Hope to Pay also called after game two, and it's a whole different fucking Hope to Pay because you know what's going on for him.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Play that other one that you started to play.
Ooh-wee. That was a squeaker. I don't know, guys. I don't know whether to take any confidence from that game or just be nervous, but it's a win is a win. Hmm. And I don't know. It just felt like it doesn't feel like our guys out there. I don't know. It's scary. Anyway, you know what the win means, right, baby?
It's a hard-on Knicks life.
That's right. Hope to pay out.
Wait, was that real or was that what was that?
Who was that?
That was either Hope to Pay's wife
or AI. It sounded like AI or something. Like
or Hope to Pay just gave me a boner. Is what just happened. Guys, BetOnline is your number one source for all your basketball info, stats, news, and scores. You can get the latest odds and lines, including the latest player reports for this year's pro basketball playoffs.
Basketball's
Barry,
back.
Are you enjoying the pro basketball playoffs?
Yeah,
can they not
Craig,
say NBA?
I don't know.
Maybe they're not allowed to because they're not partners or something?
There's nothing like pro basketball action.
I love watching pro basketball every night.
I mean, Me too.
Some idiot wrote this. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to get your betting info, including live betting options and your favorite casino and card games you can play right from your home. Head to the website today. What are you just fucking playing a golf sound?
I'm just playing
for
all
no
the,
reason?
All the reed sounds.
Just get them all out of your system. What else do you got?
Might
as well play some DJ clips. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Be sure to use promo code BLEAV to get your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online where the game starts. Whew. I am exhausted, guys. I'm fucking beat. That was the most painful.
Yeah, it was hard.
Least enjoyable win I've seen in a long time. It took everything. Injuries to Jimmy Butler. Struce. It took luck, bad calls that went our way, like that fucking ball that hit the rim.
Yeah.
It took every superstitious fucking trick in my book. Hands in my pants, hands out of my pants, hands on my head. The same hands that were in my pants, by the way.
You didn't clean them first?
Hands on my face, laying down, sitting, standing, kicking my wife out of the bedroom, bringing her back in, kicking her back out again. Switching rooms, and then I finally figured out. I finally landed in my bed, in the bedroom, hands in my pants, slight pressure to my penile area, and we did it. We came through. That was what we needed, Barry. We got game two. The series is fucking tied 1-1. And listen, I know it was painful, but it doesn't matter. Because this is the Knicks versus the Heat in the fucking playoffs. And all that matters is that we are even and it is now a best of fucking five, Barry.
Yep.
Thank you. That was fucking very insightful.
Yep.
Did you give me something? Who's your star of the game, Barry, tonight? We had some big points from the starting lineup. Really, like, nothing off the bench, but who do you got?
I mean, there's a lot depends on what part of the game you're talking about, but I think you got to give it to Brunson, because at the end, when it mattered, when it counted, you know, after doing, you know, really nothing in the first half, he came out and he made sure that the Knicks got the W. You know, he was one of the people that did. Like I said, mm-hmm. one of them.
Yeah, he had some big threes in the fourth quarter. Did dribble the ball off his leg at one point, which sucked.
Yeah,
some other guys who had big. I mean, Josh Hart was huge in the fourth. Right, Josh Hart almost had a triple double. Him and Randall with near triple doubles. Randall 25 points, 12 boards, 8 assists. Josh Hart with 14 points, 11 boards, 9 assists.
And let me read you this. Let me read you this stat line.
Big offensive rebound late.
Let me read you this stat line: 3 points, 9 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. Yet another box score stat line that you look at, and it tells you nothing about the impact that Isaiah Hartenstein had on this team.
Yeah.
He was all over the place, play after play, hustling his ass off, making plays that mattered. I mean, you know, you're looking at this squad, you know, and we were saying it like throughout the game, like, where is this Knicks team? What's going on? And he embodied what this Knicks team is. He is such a New York Knick, and he played his ass off down the stretch of this game. And, you know, without him, I don't know if they pull out this win.
You're right. I said, like, no bench production, but I was talking no points, but he really did hustle, and somehow, I couldn't even see how he did it or how he was getting balls off of the Heat, but his hustle near the sidelines, in the paint, just everywhere, was giving us extra possessions.
Yeah, drawing fouls, like so many little things that he was doing.
Yeah, and we needed him on a night because Mitchell was in foul trouble for the first time in a long time. Had four fouls early in the third quarter.
Well, it seemed like right out of the gate, it seemed like it was Bam's mission to get him into foul trouble. Bam was going right at him, and he picked up his second foul, you know, with 2.5 minutes... 2.5 minutes into the game.
Yeah, and then he didn't play for like 12 minutes. He sat for a really long time.
Yeah, because Hartenstein was effective.
Yeah.
But then Hartenstein was, they were both in running in foul trouble the whole game. They had 9 fouls between the two of them. RJ Barrett came up huge, especially in the first quarter.
Oof.
Right, which kept it fairly even in this game that you thought, I mean, I think we all thought we were going to blow them away in this game because we had Julius back, Brunson back, Jimmy Butler is out, and basically, according to the fucking broadcast, their entire team is undrafted. Yet they hung around with us.
Right.
They hung around with us. I mean,
look, I was really confident
with his second 20-plus point game of the series.
Yeah, Gabe Vincent, Max Strus, and Caleb Martin. I mean, the three of them were terrific in this game. And
Highsmith had some plays too. He was another one.
And it wasn't even undrafted. I mean, forget it. First of all, the 3-point shooting between those three guys was really good. And then it was even like hustle plays by them. Caleb Martin was coming up big, getting a ton of offensive rebounds. They played a really great game. You know, it wasn't just the Knicks doing themselves in. Look, the Heat are a really well coached team, and they've got role players that when are asked to do more than that have the potential to do it, and they happen to do it against the Knicks tonight. Now look, the Knicks won 3 out of the 4 quarters, if you want to look at it points wise. You know, it's just that second quarter was really bad. They couldn't score. They shot 5 for 19 in that quarter, you know, and that's where they dug themselves in the hole.
What did they have? I think they had like 10 points in the first 10 minutes of the second quarter, and that was pretty much it.
They couldn't buy a bucket. You know, look, I was very confident going into this game. You know, I told Blandy, I put some money on this game for Knicks to win, you know, and cover the spread by 10.
Mm-hmm.
I talked my buddy into putting money on this game, you know, because I was that confident. And I said, look, the Knicks have been well coached. I said, the Knicks, the way they played that game 5 in the Cavs series, you know, when it could have been a letdown game, they came in, they did what they had to do. They know that they got to take this win without Butler, you know, and not let the Heat get two from them at the Garden, I really thought they were going to lay the smack down convincingly in this game. It didn't happen. And then I was irrationally confident through the fourth quarter. You know, when they were still down, I'm telling you guys, nope, the Knicks are going to pull it out. They're still going to win by 10, which they almost did down the stretch. I truly did believe they were going to pull it out, because this Knicks team, we've seen comebacks down the stretch of important games in the fourth quarter. It's not like other seasons. So against this Heat team, the Knicks showed me something. You know, that's why. It's funny.
Really?
The first few minutes after this game, I'm telling my wife, I'm telling my son, the Knicks were lucky to get this win. They were lucky to get this win. And then, you know, like 10 minutes later, I'm sitting down, I'm thinking about it. It's not lucky. It's not luck. The way they played down the stretch of this game, and again, look, I know the game is 48 minutes. It's not 5 minutes. But the way that they willed themselves and the grit that they showed and took care of business in the last 6 minutes of this game or 5 minutes of this game, it showed me a lot. What this team can be made of. Now you just hope they can put pieces back together. They're gonna, you know, have time to look at film again. I mean, we said this after game one, but now they really have to. It's still a series, and then some.
I mean, the way they played to close the game is how they need to play the whole fucking game,
right?
And that's sort of how they played most of the games, the full games against Cleveland. Those hustle plays and. Hitting their shots when they needed to, and sharing the ball and finding the open man. And I don't know, I do feel like they were very fortunate to win. I mean, we could have so easily been down 0-2 and the series would have been fucking done. Would have been done. But here we are with a clean slate now.
The two biggest things to me, at least, were the shot clock violation that they called that really shouldn't have been, and the Brunson three on the Adebayo foul on Hartenstein.
That was a good break.
Think about it, the Hartenstein and Brunson play, if they had disallowed that, they would have been down six with the ball. Instead, they were down three with a foul shot. You know, it totally changed the flow of the game.
I still don't really understand how that play went our way, but
I don't understand.
There's no way the review room got that wrong.
No, they explained it pretty well. I mean, they explained it pretty well. They said he was already in the upward motion of his shot when the foul was actually called. And again, he started that motion down low, below his hips.
What do you mean, when they blew the whistle?
When they blew the whistle.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay. Well, that's what you can't really hear
on the broadcast, right. They were focusing on when, like, Adebayo first made contact with Hartenstein.
Yeah, visually. Right. Yeah, right. Yeah.
But I guess ultimately that's not what decides the call.
So,
and that guy in that wild tie and
with the bow tie
jacket,
and stuff, and
explained it to us.
With the Fruit Loops on his bow tie.
Oh my God! Can you wear something normal in that role?
Well, look, he's like, look, honey, I'm going to wear the Fruit Loop bow tie. I think I might get on TV tonight. You know, they might come to Secaucus
like that. Right? There's like a 99% chance you're not even getting on, and he's dressed like
right.
That.
So a lot of questions from this game, and one of the first questions for me came before the game even started, when they show the starting lineup and you see Josh Hart in there again. Why aren't we going back to Quentin Grimes in the starting lineup and having Josh Hart coming off the bench? I know the argument from game one, you know, being that you want to get him on Butler, you know, as much as you can defensively. But why are you going away from what worked for you down the stretch of the season?
Maybe Quentin's not 100%.
He played 25 minutes, though.
Yeah, he played 26 minutes.
And he played important minutes in the fourth quarter. So if he's capable to do that, why aren't you starting him?
I mean, they need some punch off the bench.
Punch off the bench with Hart. He seems to fit better with that group. Quentin Grimes is helpful and beneficial to the starting lineup. I mean, he's going to space you out better than Hart is. He's, you know, they respect his shot more.
And they need that offense on that second unit because, I mean, Quickly he's MIA.
Yeah, and like you said, it worked so well in the Cleveland series. Just fucking go back to it. Here we are with two games that we've struggled in.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. And even if Butler is healthy, I'd like to go back to that starting lineup. You know, keep these groups together the way they were. Now, but that brings us to the second question that you just said is Quickly. What is going on with Emmanuel Quickly?
He can't do anything.
He played 9 minutes. He played exactly 9 minutes tonight.
I know. And my first thought is it was like, okay, is this a Tibbs thing or is this a Quickley thing? But then you see Quickley out there in the minutes that he got, albeit not a ton, but he's not the Quickley that was out there in the regular season. The confident Emmanuel Quickley that can control the flow of the offense. Whether his shot's falling or not, he just doesn't have it.
No.
I mean, he hasn't the entire postseason.
It's a different... Playoffs are a different animal. Like, it just feels so much tighter, and every possession is... Everyone plays so hard, and it's such good defense. He's struggling. I mean, I attribute that to just being a young player.
Look, this is his second go-around in the playoffs. I know he was only a rookie his first time in the postseason. But look, now this is his third series now in postseason. And, you know, other guys don't seem to have this issue. Do other guys struggle in the playoffs? Yes. But I don't know. It's just disappointing.
It's
a guy
us.
Who finishes second in the NBA in sixth man of the year has got to contribute to your team more than this.
Did he score?
You know, even if it's 9 minutes.
He scored 6 points. Right before he came out of the game in that fourth, he was starting to catch fire a little bit.
Yeah, he had the floater
Brunson
back.
Was like standing on the sideline, and I was like, oh, maybe Tibbs should leave Quickley in with Brunson because he was finally hitting some shots. The Knicks needed offense. But he plays best when he's like loose and dancing on the court and like he was against the Celtics. And I don't know. I do think that's just a hard thing to do in the playoffs. He's got to loosen up and just...
Well, look, I'm not asking him to be dancing around on the court because we all know if you're not playing great and you're not, you know, crushing the competition, you look like an idiot out there if you're dancing around, prancing around all happy and giddy. But he can show some grit and toughness on offense and contribute. I mean, this is a scoring guard that's not scoring.
No, not at all.
Not scoring. He was actually a team low. Which is shocking for him, -6. And that seems like it's been like that for a few games now, right? Like he's usually very high in the plus and he's always like towards the bottom lately.
Yeah.
Did you see that we're out rebounding the Heat in the two games 98-73?
Well, tonight just it was destroying what, 60-something to 40-something, I think, right?
Depends which stats you look at. But are those Barry stats?
It looks like
I have 50-34, but that doesn't. I don't think that counts for team rebounds. 50-34 in the ESPN box score.
Oh yeah, the NBA's numbers here again. They don't match up from. They don't match up here. That's weird. The Heat. It has 34 rebounds, but they're listed as 43 under their totals.
Yeah, they've got some rebounds, type of glitch.
It's not team rebounds? Isn't that a thing?
I don't think so.
It used to be a thing.
Every team rebound rebounds? Gets credited to a particular player.
Well, how could this be every week we're doing this?
Because they fixed it. After we caught that, not because we caught it. It says, but after we caught that, about 10 minutes later, they did get it fixed.
It says 63 for the Knicks as the total, but when you add up the actual players, there's only 50. What the hell is the NBA doing?
All right, guys, you want to hear some Ralph montaging?
Yeah, why not? Let's hear it. Oh, I have to play it. Okay.
This is just, and I want you to play the one that says Ralph on it.
Okay.
And this is just after tonight. I didn't do the last one.
Okay.
Knicks versus Heat, second game. Time to get excited. Knicks by 2-1. Boy, the Heat are better than I ever thought they'd be. That's the truth. Those fucking refs! Knicks down by 3.5. Seems like only RJ and Randall came to play tonight. Oh well. Knicks and Heat, game 2, third quarter. It's a dog fight. Woof, woof, woof. Knicks win, Knicks win, Knicks win. But oh my God, my heart. Oh, what a game. And you can thank me for this game because I remember to change into my Barrett jersey just in time.
Hey, Ralph's a superstitious
Knicks fans
one too.
Everywhere.
I mean, I didn't have an issue with the refs tonight, did you? He said game one, I think.
I mean,
was,
I would if I was a Miami
horrible.
Heat fan.
Game one was horrendous, I thought.
The that one shot clock violation was terrible. I was thinking that 2.5, and I was like, if I was a Heat fan, I'd be flipping out.
Yeah. They could have. Like, how do you not? Correct.
Why don't it looked like Spoelstra was waving his finger around like he wanted to challenge right from the right away.
How do you not see that? It worked out for us.
Whatever. The NBA will issue that report, and they'll say that the refs screwed that up. Too bad.
Wasn't in the last 2 minutes.
Oh, that's right. So it won't even matter.
It doesn't matter. The only calls that matter in the last 2 minutes. Who do we got, Blandy?
JoJo? Is that somebody new?
Yeah, this is after. Okay. This is after game one. Yeah.
All right, guys. Sorry, this is the second take. JoJo Pellegrino.
Oh, the guy in the Philippines.
First time caller, long time listener. The Knicks got to take it easy. We're down, but we're not out. I said it before 2 years ago when everybody was on the case. It takes time to build a team. It takes time to build a team. My question for you guys, can anybody hold Jimmy Butler down for the whole series? Thanks. Sorry about the last one I left. That was a mistake.
Okay. But he's out there. Is he the best guy on the court? Like in the series?
Yeah, he is. But
yeah, I would agree.
He had an amazing series against Milwaukee. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. He had a great game one against New York. As great as Jimmy Butler is, I don't think that he can lead this team by himself through a second series against a good team. I just don't think it's going to happen. I think New York has enough tools to do it. They just have to be smart and not let the rest of the team collapse behind who's ever defending Jimmy Butler.
The Knicks are the better team. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that, correct?
Correct.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
They have no business losing to this team. But then again, the Bucks didn't either. But I agree, Barry. The idea of them climbing on his back and him leading them through two series, I mean, he's good, but he's not that good.
Right, and look, these are seven-game series that you're playing. Albeit, the Heat were able to, knock the Bucks off in only five of them. But again, to have Butler sustain it for that period, that amount of time is yet to be seen.
And now
again,
he's compromised.
Whether you throw Grimes on him, whether you throw Hart on him, the Knicks have defenders that can stand up to him.
What the Heat have that we don't have, and I think it's important.
Shooting. They have three-point shooting all the way around. And
it's Spoelstra. I always call him Spoelstra for some reason. But he is like the play. I know the Tibbs, we all like Tibbs, but he's got that play. He's got so much playoff experience. I mean,
guy's got how many titles?
Yeah, they show him sometimes looking at the court. And he's just got like this face that he looks like fucking Russell Crowe from A Beautiful Mind, just like with like all these fucking numbers running across his face.
My wife said that he's got like resting, like pissed off face. Like he always looks like he's pissed off.
Yeah, I mean, he looks like he's, three chess moves ahead. And look, that's what he does, right? Anytime the Knicks, would seem like they have something going, he adjusts, just like he did in game one after the first half. And, the Knicks were getting all those points in the paint, and then he just had the Heat, collect and gather in the paint and take that away and force them to shoot from three, which they couldn't do. He's always, tinkering and making adjustments very, very quickly. And that's why the Knicks have to be ready to change up their game plan very, very quickly.
Guy's got 96 playoff wins.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's an impressive resume.
I mean, you're right. When he makes adjustments and when he's on the sideline, I would put a lot of trust in him. He's got those guys playing. The way we thought we were playing against Cleveland is what they're doing against us, and we're nowhere near the level of hustle they've been giving so far.
The thing that worries me is, you were talking about adjustments, and Craig, I think you're the one who just said they have shooting like we don't. It's just the Knicks always seem to be a step behind, as the Heat are always just swinging the ball around, and there's always somebody open for three. Always. They're constantly getting open looks. And like, we get some open looks too, but our guys cannot, they can't shoot like these guys on the Heat. There's always a Nick defender like trying to close at the very end with like no shot of getting there and a three going up. Like, I don't understand why. I mean, we're supposed to be a good defensive team. I don't know why this is an issue.
Yeah, well, the thing is, you know, we're a team usually has like one or two guys that, you know, can really hurt you from the 3-point line. I mean, they have four guys, you know, some or five if you want to count Kevin Love sometimes when he's on the court that can hit it from the three. So they really space you out, and you don't want to let Bam come down the middle. So you're always helping, right? And you're collapsing on from the weak side. And the way that they pass the ball around, they're always able to find a guy left.
It's always wide open.
And then when they don't, right, and the Knicks try to get closer to the man and defend the perimeter better, then you end up giving like a runway for Bam Adebayo, and he gets like this, you know, easy dunk. So look, the way that they play, it's not easy, even when Butler's not out there. You know,
I think now, part of the reason why they're open, by the way, and are able to swing so easily right now is 2/5 of our starting lineup, who is already not great at defense, Brunson and Randall, are like, they've got these ankles going on.
Well, I don't know. I mean, Randall looked pretty good at me. I mean, he took Bam Adebayo to his right. Then he took him to his left. I mean, the first step that Randall had and he showed tonight,
sure.
Offensively, yes. Yeah. Oh, you're talking about on defense. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I saw plenty of guys blow by
him. I'm not going to blame Randall's poor defense on his ankle. I'm going to blame that on what's plagued him his entire career here, effort. Yeah. But that being said, maybe this game unlocks Julius Randle. This is by far his greatest playoff game he's ever had. 25 points, 12 rebounds, 8 assists. I mean, he has not done that in any playoff game.
His last two games, though, now, the game against Cleveland, he was on his way to something like this.
Yeah.
In that first half. Yeah.
Every time he leaves the ground, I take a deep breath, though. Like, I hold my breath. It's just, he seemed to be doing a lot of running around like a lunatic and I was like, dude, just calm.
Oh, he's gonna tweak that ankle. He's gonna tweak that ankle again. I guarantee it. He still hasn't gotten enough rest.
You don't
Hopefully
think so?
He's like, no. I mean, in that game, in the game against Cleveland, he hurt the same one.
Right.
Well, next game is what, Saturday?
He probably should have sat out again to get the extra, like, that's a long, big break.
Right. You would think, if we had won game one, he probably would not have played tonight.
Absolutely.
You know, they could have afforded not to have him play, especially with Butler out. But with him, you know, with us losing, they had no choice.
Good thing they got this W.
That would have been made. Blandy, who? We have one more.
Yeah,
one more.
Mm-hmm.
One more.
Brandon.
We got the W. It was ugly, but we got the W. I about shit myself multiple times. You got to give it up to the Knicks, man. That is, this team will always give you heart attacks. I'm glad we got the W, but we really need to look at some things. Our defense, and they're not playing without Butler. That's scary. Anyways, I'm just glad we got it on to Miami. Hopefully we can win one at least in Miami. All right, peace.
Well, Saturday, 3:30, Barry. Landy,
yeah, shut off the
Barry.
Phone.
Yeah, my phone will be off again.
What time does work end?
5 o'clock.
Oh, so it's not so bad. It's not as bad as the other day.
Not as bad as Sunday, right?
Are you doing news tonight, Blandy?
I've got two stories.
All right. Well.
All right. So we start off with the announcement today that Joel Embiid was named the MVP of the NBA this year. Nikola Jokic came in second, and then Giannis came in third. I think. Yeah. Jokic was going, you know, that was a big thing all season long. Could he possibly win a third MVP? There were people bringing, you know, racial things into it, but Embiid wins his first MVP award. And then the only other thing I got here is Chris Paul apparently tweaked his groin in game two against Denver, and he will probably be out for the next week. So he's going to miss a game, possibly two, against the Nuggets, which could be the end of their season if things continue the way that they are.
That's it
right now.
Yeah. What about that Dylan Brooks shit?
Yeah, I mean, I guess we could mention that Shams Charania came out saying that the Grizzlies have told him in no uncertain terms, told Dylan Brooks that he will not be back with them next year. Which, I mean, listen, he...
How often does that... Why? What, no one ever... Why did they say that? Just because he's an asshole?
I guess so. They've just decided that it's too much. I mean, listen, any of the stuff that he did, is it worse than any of the stuff that Ja's been involved in? No, of course not. But Ja is, you know, a way better player.
Did he do anything that bad?
So Craig's right, because even when somebody does something really bad, the team just doesn't re-sign them. They don't say... Or put out a statement.
I guess they wanted to send a message. Yeah.
But what did
yeah.
he do? What did he do something that offensive?
I think it was just the culmination all year long, like getting into the punching Donovan Mitchell that time, saying what he did about LeBron, then punching LeBron in the dick. I think it just became too much. If it was John Morant, they wouldn't part ways.
He did become a sideshow.
Yeah,
to the Grizzlies.
He did not perform in the playoffs. He shot like 30% from the field and like 20% for three. So, could they replace him with somebody else?
What Miles Bridges did, and Charlotte never said, we're not re-signing him.
Right.
Right, they just be quiet and they
right.
wait because you might want to.
Obviously, they wanted to send a message for whatever reason. I mean, he did make an ass of himself like over and over and over again. I think he's a dick, so I don't mind. But you got people all over Twitter saying, "Oh, the Knicks should sign him. Perfect Tibbs player."
Perfect what?
Tibbs player. Oh yeah. Fuck out of here. You didn't see that anywhere?
No.
A lot of people saying he'd be a perfect Tibbs player. Oh, thanks. I'll pass. Yeah, that's the way. The basketball bounces.
I don't know. He's punching all the right people in the groin for me as a Knicks fan. So I'm not against it.
No, but I like the drama-free Knicks.
Yeah, it's just... Then he didn't talk the last three games, right, in the series afterwards. He didn't make himself available. The NBA fined him like $25,000 for that. Like, if you're going to be a dick and be so outspoken, at least, you know, face the music after the fact.
All right, guys. Well, that's going to do it for today's show. Reach out to us. It's hardknickslife@gmail.com. Follow me on @hardknickslife. Barry @BarryDworkin. Blandy @BlandyHooper. You can call us. After Saturday's game. Barry will still be working, but you can call us.
The phone lines are always open, ready and waiting for your Knicks takes at 516-33-MESH-1, 516-336-3741.
There's that golf swing. It's Saturday golf time, Blandy?
Maybe. And even... golf.
So, by the way, I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
I was going to talk about this
from the start of. Yeah, what is that? What is it?
I know what it is.
Are they smelling their fingers after
I think after isn't it like
three,
isn't
though.
It like
I think that cuz they only do it after they make a three. I think they're smelling the three-pointer and it smells good. But yeah, like you said, Jay, it's akin to smelling that, you know, pink stuff after you dab it.
What? What about? I think they're just snorting coke.
It's three fingers. They're holding it as close to their nose as they can. They're smelling it like it's cash. Like it's you know pussy scent on their fingertips. Like it's so good.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm sitting on the train and I hear it sounds like someone pouring water. And I'm surrounded by Knicks fans. And we look behind us and
this guy is
barfing. Just has his head down in his seat, barfing straight down to the floor.
On a Sunday afternoon.
On a Sunday afternoon at like 4:30.
Nice.
And these like really, it was so funny because there were these like Knicks fans arguing about, one of them was talking about something called Sizzla, ZZLA or something like that. and one of them thought he was kept saying Sizzler. So it was actually a real funny conversation. Then this guy starts throwing up. And then one of those guys jumps up because he's sitting right in front of him. He's like, shit, did he get me? Did he just get me?
This dude just did this.
But then they were like...
Was John Stark sitting next to him at the train? I know he was at the game. Was he down the LIRR?
I love how John Stark's like the new Spike Lee at the games, by the way.
Oh, yeah, totally. I love how
no
Patrick
one's more excited
there.
Than him.
Mello,
everybody's Carmelo there. Was there.
Everybody yeah, showed
Bernard
up.
King is there.
Well, he's always
yeah, but
there.
Was LJ so, like,
there? But Patrick's not usually there. He's always there, too, but Patrick's never there.
Dude, this guy's barfing, and he doesn't stop. He just keeps coming out of his mouth.
Is that right?
And then one of them was like, yo, get him to the bathroom. It's right there. What's he doing? And I was like, no. You want him up out of that seat? And he starts he's not spread. Stopping. He'll just start barfing spread. All over all of us, wherever he goes. They're like, oh, you're right.
I was barfing last week, Craig.
Oh, yeah, you had that, whatever you had.
Yeah, I woke up in like the middle of the night. Maybe it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. And I was really nauseous. And I went into the bathroom, thought I was going to throw up. And then I'm just like laying on the bathroom floor, you know. Then I make it back to the bed. I bring like a pail in there. I'm like, it happens a couple more times where like I think I'm going to go. So I go to the bathroom again, but nothing happens. I manage to get to sleep. I wake up. I was like, all right, let me take a shower. Maybe I'll feel better and I could try to go to work. This was like a Tuesday morning. So I get in the shower and about 30 seconds into the shower, yeah, I feel it coming on. I get out of the shower. I drop to my knees and...
I bet you did.
Throw my head in the toilet and I just throw up so much. Just like pouring out of my house like you see on, you know, in a cartoon. And I felt a little better. So... I, you know, got back in the shower. I did all my stuff. I said, look, I'm going to try to go to work. Meanwhile, I texted a couple of... I texted a couple of coworkers that are off, and I said, look, whatever. I might need you to cover for me, but I'm going to try to make it. I'm going to try to go to work. So I have like a half-hour commute, and about 20 minutes in, I'm on the parkway, and I feel like I'm going to have to pull over on the side of the parkway and get out of my car. Didn't throw up. Just needed a few minutes. Get back in the car. Get to work. I sit down
going.
In the...
You kept
I
going after kept that. You going. Didn't turn around?
Look, at that point, I was like, you know, 5 or 10 minutes away.
You look like you shit your pants.
I sit down in the office, and I said, all right, let me just sit down here for a few minutes. Wasn't feeling well, and I could tell. So I texted those coworkers. I said, look, I'm not well. I'm going to go home. And about 10 seconds after I send the text... I feel it coming on. I rush to the bathroom, and I don't know how, but I puke a ton more, which I thought was like impossible. I thought if I was going to throw up, it would be like bile or something. Somehow, I still threw up so much more, even though I thought I'd thrown up everything before that. And yeah, I go home, and I like lay in bed for like the next 9 or 10 hours. At one point, I did take my temperature. I had like 101. And then, that night I went to bed, and in the middle of the night, I woke up again, and I was like, wow, I think I actually feel better. And I was better
now,
the next day.
Guess.
It was like a one day thing.
Let me guess, you barfed 4 bags of chocolate covered raspberries.
No, you know what it was? It was ribs, like barbecue
ribs.
Oh, which like I'm not going to eat.
Wait,
no,
wait,
can
hold
you
on,
imagine?
Hold on.
But
your
you're
own
saying
ribs?
It was food poisoning?
Was it
your
own ribs or was it animal ribs?
You know, by the end, I think there were a couple of my own ribs in there, now that you mention it. No, my wife had made ribs. And I had them Sunday night, and then I had leftovers Monday night.
Oh my God.
And then that's what came out Tuesday morning. Oh,
so, like, how
awful.
Many racks of ribs did you barf up?
Oh, my God. I just kept thinking back to, like, them smothered in the barbecue sauce and this and that, and it's going to be a while before I can have ribs
what
again.
What about this? Did you have...
That's a solid number two, man.
No,
a solid
nothing.
Number two. There was
no
one
issues
point...
with that at all.
No, and it's funny because my son had this stomach bug a few days ago, so I must have caught it from him, and he had the diarrhea going on in addition to the vomiting. Oof. I did have a bowel movement later on that Tuesday, but it was a nice movement.
Oh, was, good
it
for
was,
you.
It was solid. Ooh, it was not...
Do not... Go in there.
Yeah.
Woo!
Well, lucky
sticky,
you.
Sticky, sticky, saucy ribs.
Yeah.
God, imagine puking that.
That was Craig, that was the sickest I've been in years. I can't remember the last time I was that sick that day. It was awful.
Wow, and you almost made it into work.
Yeah, I clocked in. I was there for about 5 minutes before going home.
The worst thing you've ever thrown up? I once threw up taco meat. Like, we had tacos, and it was like ground beef, and then I threw that all up. So that, I would say that's probably the worst thing that I've ever thrown up.
Yeah. Did you ever throw, were you throwing up the hard shells, like, back through?
No. It was basically just the ground beef, which essentially looked the same way coming up as it did going down.
Well, you know, I told it's you my disgusting. Son had this a few days before. My son,
all our listeners right now are barfing while they're listening all barfing. To the show.
My son didn't make it to the bathroom in time. He went all over his rug.
Sound effects, Jack?
No, I don't.
Oh, it's too bad.
My son went all over his rug, and we tried to clean the thing. We just gave up. We threw the fucking rug out in the garbage. Rolled up the whole thing.
Yeah, well, let me ask you a question.
Dude, I'm just about to start, like, heaving. Stop playing that.
Let me ask you a question.
It was your idea.
Barry,
yeah.
When did you throw up? When did you throw out that rug?
When did I throw it out?
Yeah. So he threw up all on the rug on what day of the week?
Sunday.
And when did you throw that rug out?
Sunday night.
When did you
roll
it up and throw it out?
Sunday night.
You threw it out of your house on Sunday night?
Yeah, I carried it out Sunday night. Put it on the curb.
Why are you grilling him like that?
Because that is not what your wife told me and my wife. She said it was basically in your house for like a day before you finally rolled it up and threw it out.
Was it the next day?
Yeah, Barry.
It might have been the next
day. You left a disgusting, puke-filled rug in your house for at least a day before you rolled it up and brought it outside.
Look, and there was no...
We cleaned it.
Is there a reason why you didn't clean it?
We did clean it. We tried to clean it. We sprayed it down. We vacuumed it up. We scrubbed it, this and that. And then you're probably right. Monday night, I came home from work and threw it out. You're right.
She made some faces. She made it very clear
come
that you did not
on.
Throw
it was there
that
for a
out.
Day.
That you left it in your house for way too long.
Like she was criticizing Barry?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Like she couldn't believe that like it should have been thrown out immediately, and yet here it was the next day.
Well, she refused to clean it because she told my son, he said his stomach was hurting. Before he did throw up, and he's like, and I'm going to have Apple Jacks. And she said, don't have Apple Jacks if your stomach's hurting. You're going to throw up. And he ended up having the Apple Jacks, and sure enough, that's what he threw up. So she refused to help clean it up.
What? So who had to clean up? You and your son?
No, I gave him all the stuff, and I said, this is how you're going to do it. And then, you know, he wasn't being
what?
Successful, so I did help him. Dude, this was Sunday. I came home to watch the Knick game, and I had to come and walk into my house and deal with the vomit situation. All I wanted to do was sit down and start the Knick game that I taped.
Wait a second. Or you're joking about your son cleaning up his own vomit, right?
No!
The kid had a stomach
He's not 3 years old.
He vomited all over the rug. He had to clean it up after himself.
Yeah, that's right.
He's 11,
he was warned. He was warned, or 13. He's about to be 13. He was warned not to have the Apple Jacks.
Don't you think it was the Apple Jacks that sent him over? He wouldn't have thrown up without the Apple Jacks?
That was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Oh, come on. Come on. He would have thrown up no matter what at some point.
He probably would have.
Poor Trey.
Don't feel bad for Trey.
Oh, I feel bad for Trey. All the kid wanted was some Apple Jacks, and now he's cleaning up a rug that you ended up fucking throwing away anyway.
Yeah, and this was like a Pottery Barn rug, Craig. You know how expensive those things are.
Oh, we've got this rug. It's one of the, you know the rug in my living room? It's like, shaggy?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't believe we've not thrown it out yet, but we have not had... throw up in there, yeah. When anybody throws up in there, it's out. You can't do it.
No, you can't clean that.
No, it's done.
It's done.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm waiting for that moment. Whenever anyone's thrown up, I throw them right off of that rug. My kid won't even clean the piss off the toilet when he pees on the toilet. Yours is cleaning throw up.
Yeah, well, we tried.
Was he willing to do it?
Yes.
Or was he crying about it? He was.
No. He wasn't crying about it. He was willing to do it. You know, like, sometimes, like, after you throw up, there is, like, that, even if you're sick.
You feel better.
You do feel a little bit better.
Yeah. You get a second wind.
Right. Exactly.
So you might as well clean
That's
up.
Why I went to work. Yeah. That's why I went to work. It's just that second wind doesn't last too long.
Wow. Just puking everywhere.
Well, what a show. All right, guys. Until next time, I'm not going to jinx it like I did last week. It is a hard...
Nick's
life.
Let's fucking go!
You were going to either go one of two ways, barfing or DJing.
Really, I decided not to do any more puking.
That's good.
It's a Hard Knicks Live.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.